Yesterday, Danny Ramos mentioned that he thought it might be necessary to do something to wake up a fatigued audience. The suggestion that I gave him was to do a cartwheel, which he didn't do. I'm also not going to do that today. I was assisted in this work by my colleague Edward, and we're from Agnetio in South Africa. So this is the second paper out of three, essentially on the same topic. So I'll start by defining it and then saying what is different in our paper from the other two, and then we'll get to the rest. So defining what I'm calling the partitioning problem. We're all very familiar with the canonical detection problem, where you need to decide there are two speech segments. Do we have one or two speakers here? So if we want to generalize that, which is essentially my main interest here, how do we generalize the canonical problem? We're allowing more than two input segments. And the natural question is then, how many speakers, and how do we divide the segments between the speakers? So here's an example. The simplest generalization, we go from two to three, and the task is then to partition the set of inputs into subsets. So this is why I'm calling it partition, because that's just the set theory way of stating the problem. So immediately we get five possibilities. So this should be quite obvious. There can be one, two, or three speakers, and in the two-speaker case, there are three ways to partition. So partitioning is the most general problem of this kind. If you assume there's a single speaker in each segment, I'm saying it's the most general because if you have the answer about how the segments are partitioned, you can answer any other kind of detection, verification, identification, open or closed set, or clustering problem that you can define within in such segments. The connection with diarization has already been mentioned. There you also need a segmentation step. So we're presupposing a segmentation is given. So the problem is general, which is good, but you have to be careful because the complexity explodes. Here's a little table that shows that the number of possible ways to partition it can become very large very quickly. So again, the canonical problem, there are just two solutions. Our example, which we'll discuss some more, has five, and we're not going to discuss the last one in full here today. So to get to what's new, the material in the paper is too much to present in a single talk. We were juggling to get everything up to the last line in the eight pages. So I'll just highlight what is new here and why you may want to go and read the full paper. So, as mentioned, this is identical to what has been mentioned before and what David will mention after this. So the problem itself is not new. So I'm stressing this generality, which I've just mentioned, but then I also have to mention that we're focusing on problems where there are a small number of inputs per trial, whereas, for example, David will stress the case of a large number of inputs. Further, in the paper I've emphasized solutions that deliver probabilistic outputs, in other words, calibrated likelihoods, and also propose an associated evaluation criterion, which I'm not going to discuss further here. And then something which I I'm going to discuss further. Our paper gives a closed form solution to this very general problem by using a simple additive Gaussian generative model in I-vector space. Patrick, that's exactly what Patrick explained, except we're not doing it heavy-tailed, just plain Gaussian. So this model gives us log likelihood outputs, and it is tractable even fast when we don't do too many segments at once. So yesterday in his keynote, Patrick mentioned that using this kind of modeling, you can calculate likelihoods for any type of speaker recognition problem. So this is exactly what we show in our paper. The formulas are there. You can use them. So, again, very briefly, the PLDA I-vector model, they model speaker and channel effects as independent, multivariate Gaussian, and additive. I-vectors, I don't need to explain. Every speech segment gets mapped to an I-vector. The reason we call it an I-vector is simply because it's of intermediate size. The I is for intermediate. It's larger than an acoustic feature vector, smaller than a super vector. I may also mention that total variability, these I vectors cannot be reconstructed to give you the original speech. So in my opinion, they don't reflect the total variability in the signal. So the I vector solution, the generative model, the hyperparameters of this model, in other words, those variability, the covariance matrices that explain all the variability, they have to be trained with an EM algorithm, and that's similar to JFA. There's some detail in the paper. So I'm going to concentrate on the scoring because it's nice and simple with this very simple model. So we're given a set of segments, each represented by an I vector, ABC, and the S that I've got here represents a subset of that set. So S is a subset. M is my generative model, and then we can calculate the likelihood that all of the segments in the subset belong to the same speaker. So the details of how to calculate the likelihood L of the subset is in the paper. So I'm showing now how to go from the subset likelihood to the likelihood of a full partitioning of the full set. So again, for the three inputs, that's one of the possibilities. The model is simple, so the likelihoods multiply. That's very nice, very, very comfortable to use. So this is all you need to solve all of those problems to get the closed form solution. Of course, it's not always going to be a very good solution, but you get the solution. So for the three input example, this three inputs that represents a trial, the output are the five different likelihoods for the five partitioning probabilities. So this solution is neat and versatile, but as I already mentioned, it blows up if you try to use too many input segments. So moving to experimental results, the experimental results on real NIST data is available in the full paper, but in the rest of this talk, we're going to use an experiment with synthetic data. The reason I didn't put that in the paper was because peers, especially the anonymous ones, tend not to like synthetic data, but everybody's wearing name tags, so those peers are not here, so I'm going to proceed with my synthetic data experiment. So this takes the form of a little tutorial in probability theory. So the generality of the partitioning problem and the simplicity of the I-vector model are very handy tools to examine a few questions one might have about basic things about speaker recognition. So I'd like to just show you how this works. So the example we're going to discuss is NIST's unsupervised adaptation SRE task. And that's what I promised Jean-François yesterday, that this would be discussed. So we're going to analyze it by making it a special case of the partitioning problem. So the basic problem is you do need more prior information than that which was provided in the original definition of this task. So the next several slides are going to be on that. So the input, we're looking at the simplest case. You're given a trained segment, which is known to be of the target speaker. Then you're also given an adaptation segment, which may or may not be from the target segment, and you're allowed to use that. And then finally, there's a test segment, and your job is to decide, was this the target speaker or not? So, three inputs, as mentioned. There are five possibilities of how to partition these three inputs. We can group the first two as belonging to the target hypothesis, and the last three as being instances of non-target partitions. Non-target because the test has a different speaker from the train. So we need a prior. NIST provided the target prior. We don't need a prior for the train segment. We already know it's of the target speaker. But what about the adaptation segment? So that prior was not stated in the original problem. So we can assemble these two priors just in the obvious way to give a full probability distribution over the five possibilities. I've somewhat arbitrarily set the last one to zero to simplify matters here. You're assuming if the test segment is not your target, the adaptation segment is also not going to be. So the whole thing assembles like this. The generative model supplies the five likelihoods for the five partitioning possibilities, and then you use, as Patrick said, the basic rules of probability theory, sum rule, product rule, but you need the you need this extra prior, this prior which has not been mentioned before. You need that to compute, to properly express the likelihood ratio between the target and the non-target hypothesis. So the experiment that we did was to demonstrate what role does this prior play, what might happen if you're assuming a bad prior. How closely should it match the actual proportion in the data that you're working with? So we use synthetic I-vectors because we're not interested in examining the data or indeed the PLDA model. By making synthetic data with the model, the data has a perfect fit to the model. So that focuses the experiment on the role of the prior. So back to this system diagram. We adjust two things independently. The one is the proportion of the adaptation segments in the data. The other is the assumed prior of how much that proportion might be. And we evaluate the whole thing via equal error rate. So the result looks something like this. The horizontal axis over here, we have the assumed prior increasing in this direction. The other horizontal axis is the actual proportion. And the vertical axis, of course, the equal error rate. So this here is the best situation to be in. You know there are many adaptation segments, and there are, in fact, adaptation works. The back corner over there, you're saying, okay, I'm not expecting any targets in the adaptation data, so I'm not adapting. The bad place to be is there, where you're assuming you'll find many adaptation segments, but when there aren't any. So the important thing to realize here is it's not so bad to assume that there aren't any adaptation segments, because then you're just back to what you would have done without adaptation. But it is bad to have the mismatch the other way around. So the prior is important. You may choose to ignore the prior, but it's not going to go away. It's there causing its damage, even if you ignore it. So that brings me to the conclusion of the talk. Back in the real world, we've already applied this partitioning software in helping us find mislabelings in the SRE08 data, which we needed for development for the for this evaluation. So we've only started on this work in the Basara's workshop that's starting next week over here. We'll be using exploring this problem some more. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Nico. There is some question or comments? I could begin. According to me, if you look at the real case for unsupervised picker adaptation, you can't assume that the trials are independent one to the other, and you will have to have something more sophisticated. Usually in a real application, you will have an imposter going to the system and trying during 3 hours to cheat the system. And sometime we hope you will have the target speakers coming and only the target speaker during a few months. Do you agree?
I agree. And this framework allows for that, because the prior that you plug in to get your final score, you can make trial dependent. So if you know about this behavior, you can modify the prior as time progresses.
Dynamically?
Sorry?
Dynamically, you could change the time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now you had time to find some questions.
So do you say that it is the death of the one-step speakerization system?
Did I hear correctly? So you asked whether this is a one-step diarization system.
Yeah, when we do the segmentation and the clustering, the one step only.
No, I assumed here that the segmentation is given. So I assumed that there are no segments which have two speakers in them.
Yeah, of course. But what I say is, if we apply a system for uniquely the segmentation and you get all the boundaries, your system could be used for partitioning the segment.
I wouldn't recommend it, because as I pointed out, if you have 1,000 segments, then you won't be able to apply my equations. They're not designed for the large-scale case. There are other approximate methods. You could still start from the same Gaussian PLDA model, but then you would need something like variational Bayes to handle a large number of segments. We're going to play with that at the workshop as well.
Okay. We can thank the speaker.